So we made a trip back to South Dakota, Minnesota to visit our family, and then we were driving out here, and I kept telling my wife, I said, honey, when we get to southern Indiana, it's going to be springtime. It snowed 5 inches that weekend. It was sectional weekend. So, yeah, it's fitting that it snows today, so I appreciate that. Reminds me of a story. Imagine that. Ole and Lena and Sven. Yep. Yeah, they were going to take a late camping trip up to the northern Minnesota woods. So they got up there, and by golly, there came a horrendous snowstorm. And they were in trouble, so Sven looks at Ole, and Ole looks at Sven, and Ole looks at Lena and said, we better do something. We better dig us a snow cave or something to get out of this wind. Terrible. So they dug in the snow, and they happened to come along. They picked up a vase or a vase, depending on where you're from. They rubbed the snow off the vase, and out pops a genie. And he said, I am the genie of the northern Minnesota woods. He said, I can grant each one of you one wish. Lena looked around and said, oh, it's so cold and nasty and snowy up here. I wish I was back on the farm. Poof, Lena was gone. So Sven looks around and he said, man, that's not a bad wish. That's not a bad idea. So Sven says, oh, I wish I was back on the farm too in my warm house. Poof, Sven was gone. Ole looks around and said, I'm so lonely. I wish Lena and Sven were here. Okay. Enough of that. So here we are 39 years later. Well over 2,000 sermons, and I do have, it says my pastoral record, and Winnie, I do have every message and every funeral and wedding, well, hopefully, recorded in here. Over 2,000 sermons, 150 weddings, 200 funerals, two this past week, countless hospital visits, nursing home visits, Bible studies, events, big and small, many of you are involved in those. The rich privilege, the greatest privilege a pastor can have, praying with men and women and children to accept Jesus as their Savior. Baby dedications, baptisms, striving to encourage, disciple, lead. And here we are this day, my last message as your senior pastor. So I want to talk for a minute about a great hero in the Bible, the Apostle Paul. Missionary to the Gentile world, wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament, founded at least 14 churches that we know of. So I shouldn't even be mentioned in the same sentence with him, not even close to the same league. And I don't have a lot of common ground with this truly great servant of God. I've served two churches in my 43 years of ministry. I'm kind of unusual. Some might say weird. I don't know, strange. Never been stoned and left for dead like Paul was. Never been imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And I don't expect to be executed for my faith. So what do I share with this great apostle? The one thing that I do share are the sentiments that he expressed in Philippians chapter 1. And ironically, our council chair was thinking along the same terms a week and a half ago when we had our last council meeting, and he went to this very scripture, and I said, hey, you can't steal my scripture text for my message. God was working in the same veins. So before we go to the text, I want to ask you one simple question. What is it that God values most? There's a song that says God loves people more than anything. God values relationship. The highest commodity of value in the kingdom of God is relationships. Jesus said when he was asked by a lawyer, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So what does that mean? That's relationships. Love God, love people. You know what? Over the years, we've made it way too hard, haven't we? We've made it way too hard two things God asks us to do. Love him, and one of the saints of old said, love God and do as you please. So, in other words, if your relationship with God was right, everything else would be right as well. So, you may not remember many of my sermons. Maybe you don't remember any of them. And that doesn't really matter. But I pray that you remember the relationship that we had. And more importantly, that in some way through that relationship, that your relationship with God grew, or that you began that relationship during these past 39 years. So let's check out the words that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, a church that Paul loved, a church that supported Paul financially. And really, some scholars say this was basically a thank you note to write to the church at Philippi, a thank you for their financial support. But there was so much more as well. Just to give you the context, Paul was under house arrest in Rome when he wrote this letter to the church. And he was able to write and he was able to witness to members of the Praetorian Guard, the elite of the Roman army who were charged with protecting the emperor. And there was a guard chained to him, so he had a captive audience, kind of like I have right here, right now. So Paul was in prison, and yet he wrote this remarkable letter, thanks the church for support. And in this letter, he teaches about some really broad kingdom principles for a Christ follower. He talks about humility. He talks about pressing on toward the goal, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He talks about prayer as an antidote to anxiety and worry. He talks about the ability to do all things through Christ. And most of all, this is a letter of joy. He encourages joy. So, let's see what brings Paul joy. And we're going to be in the first chapter, verses 3 through 5 to begin with here. It says this: I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You know what? My old pastor heart resonates with the words of the great apostle. Resonates big time with what Paul had to say in these few verses. Thanks. I'm thankful for you all. I'm thankful that 39 years ago, this church body decided to take a chance on a 26-year-old farm boy from South Dakota. I would turn 27 shortly after I came, but that you would put enough confidence in me to call me as your pastor. So I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel like that was a great honor for me. And so I give thanks. Thank you for the relationships that we've had and things we've shared. Prayers. I can pray with joy, so much joy. Yeah, there have been some hard times. There have been some challenging times. There have been, you know, those times when, you know, I was thinking about the verse, I think it's the last verse of Old Country Church. So many have died. So many have gone on to their heavenly reward. And that's been hard to preach funeral for some of the people that you love and admire more than you can imagine. So there's been some challenges, but you know what? I choose to remember the joy. So much joy. The other thing that Paul talks about here in this text is partnership. Partnership. This church has an amazing record of partnering and sharing the good news with our community and around the world through support of missionaries and through different programs. Most recently, we've bought in and invested largely in Operation Christmas Child that sends little shoeboxes around the world as a witness of the love of Christ to children who maybe have never gotten a gift in their life. Through child sponsorship, Children of Promise, we support three missionary couples. One of those persons is here today, my nephew, Andrew Nielsen. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for being here, bro. So ongoing help and support for local needs. Partnership. Who can forget the Living Christmas Tree? How many people partnered together to make that thing happen? It took a village, it took a vast congregation in order to make that happen. What wonderful memories. Work camp trips to Allen, South Dakota. That's a long ways away. And Marion Church supported us and gave us places to stay. And trips to Hope Hill, Kentucky. Trips to the Gulf after Katrina. Outreaches to our community. WWJD ministers to kids on Wednesday night and youth. Kids Hope, Faith in Action Sundays, men's events. Wild game feeds. We just had one of those a couple weeks ago. Got rid of all those pheasants. Now I need to replenish. So these things do not happen without partnership, without people coming together. And that is so, there is so much synergy when people, when Christian people say, yeah, I want to be a part of that. And I know there were a lot of you who were a part of doing last night's supper and all the events of this weekend. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Unbelievable. Thank you. Partnership. Thanks. Joy. Partnership. I celebrate those things with you today. And today, as I lay down the mantle of leadership, I have great hope. I have great hope. Ed stole this one last night in his remarks. Verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Great hope. God is certainly not finished with this church body. God will continue his work long after I'm gone. God is getting ready to write a brand new chapter at the Monroe City First Church of God. Maybe he's going to write a whole new volume, maybe a library. I pray that God is not done with this pastor. So I still have a pastor's heart, and I will never walk away from the call that God has placed on my life. I'm confident that God has great plans to use this church body to bring his grace and love to a world that is far from him. Thanks, joy, partnership, and a great hope for the future. So how will this hope be realized? How can and will God be at work? So go over to Philippians chapter 2 with me. If you have it on your phone, that's the only reason you should be looking at your phone right now, okay? If you have a Bible app, I'm just saying. There's pew Bibles if you want to follow along, or you can just listen. Philippians chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, capital S, God's Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. This is a challenging verse, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. How many of you have got that worked out? Got that all figured out? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What was that attitude? Verse 6. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Next verse. Here we come. Verse 12. Therefore, when you see therefore in the Bible, you need to figure out what it's there for, okay? So what preceded that, the attitude, the mind, the heart of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, preceded that. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. Not work for your salvation, but work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. Think about that. That's how I can have hope. God at work in you. God at work in your individual lives. God at work in this body. That's why I have hope for the future. God will continue to work and bless in this great congregation here in Monroe City. God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing. No whining, okay? No whining. You're going to have changes. Things are going to change, and you're going to want to complain and whine. Don't go there, okay? Heed the word. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Shine like stars. I like that a lot. So there's a lot here, and I don't have time to develop it fully, but just to mention a couple of things. Paul talks early in this chapter about unity, having one mind and one spirit coming together. You don't have to agree on everything, but agree on the major things. Make Jesus the focus. Make the cross the focus. When you kneel at the foot of the cross, that ground at the foot of the cross is level. We're all the same. Paul talks about humility. Some of us might think we're proud of how humble we are, but humility is a challenging thing for us. And then having the attitude of Jesus, that theme, that thing, Paul mentions different times in different letters. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other letters, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Christ who is your life. Paul uses those phraseology. Salvation is God's work in us. We cannot do God's part. God will not do our part. God's at work in us. Work out. Another translation says, show the results of your salvation. When you walk out the door, I've always said that a church's greatest asset is its people. Sometimes when you walk out the door of this building, the church's greatest liability is its people. Live out your faith. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Shine like stars. Trust God. Trust God. Good times, tough times, whatever comes, trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Regardless, if your dreams, what you think should happen doesn't happen, trust God. I've asked my daughter to come and sing, and she's going to kind of give us an emphasis on this point. And I'm going to have you use this wired mic. I don't trust those wirelesses sometimes.
Each one down at your feet, never I confess.
You starting me over, honey? Thank you. I missed the, yeah, we came in a few seconds late there.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I try to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side.
When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So let all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. Move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you, yeah. You are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go you've not already stood. When you don't move the mountains, I'm leading you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you, yeah. I will trust in you. I'll trust in you. Yeah.
Thank you. I was holding it together pretty good until she sang. I'll get it back, maybe. So I just want to tell a little story here before we wrap up. A couple more songs. And I wanted to tell you the story of two bills, not dollar bills or $100 bills or anything, but two men named Bill. One Bill Broadhurst, was a very heroic runner, very heroic. Another runner by the name of Bill Rogers, those of you who are runners know that name. Bill Rogers was a truly great, great runner. In fact, Bill Rogers won the Boston Marathon and the New York City Marathon four times each between the years of 1975 and 1980. Bill Rogers was a great, great distance runner. Bill Broadhurst was a great fan of Bill Rogers. Bill Rogers was his hero. And so Bill Broadhurst always dreamed of running in a race that Bill Rogers ran in. The reason I say that Bill Broadhurst was a heroic runner is because Bill Broadhurst, in his younger years, had a brain aneurysm and his left side was partially paralyzed. So there came an occasion in Omaha, Nebraska, believe it or not, Nebraska, for Bill Broadhurst and Bill Rogers to run in the same race. It was a 10K. And so the race began, and Bill Broadhurst was just thrilled to be running in a race with his hero. And Bill Rogers completed the 6.2 miles in under 30 minutes. 2 hours later, Bill Broadhurst was still struggling to run the 6.2 miles. So as he was hobbling along, trying to finish the race, some kids came along and on a bicycle and said, "Mister, the race is over. Bill Rogers won that race 2 hours ago. It's over. And you might as well quit. Just walk off the course. You don't have to finish." And Bill Broadhurst said, "I can't quit. My hero's waiting at the end." So after about 2 hours and 30 minutes, Bill Broadhurst nears the finish line, and out from the alley steps Bill Rogers and about 30 other people, and they spring up the banner. Everything had been put away. They put the banner up, and they put a tape out, and Bill Broadhurst crossed the finish line, and there was his hero waiting for him. And Bill Rogers went over to Bill Broadhurst, and he took the medal and the ribbon off of his neck, and he hung it on Bill Broadhurst's neck, and he says, You are the true winner. You're the winner because you never quit." And he got to see his hero. My daughter Erica, that just sang, teaches kindergarten. And so they left Friday. I think she taught half a day. And so she was explaining to her 21 kindergarten students what they were doing, that they were going down to Monroe City to celebrate her father's retirement. And so she asked the children in her class, she said, "Do you know what retirement means?" And a couple of the kids raised their hand, and she called on one of the children, and he said, "It means you're giving up." I'm not giving up, okay? And you better not give up either. Church, you better not give up. I'll come back and I'll haunt you. God has incredible plans for this church. You are poised to start a new phase. Romans 12, the writer writes, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Monroe City Church of God, do not quit. Keep running. Keep running. Followers of Jesus today, individually, don't ever quit. Keep running the race. Your hero waits for you with open arms. He's with you. Today, if you're not a Christian, join the race. Join the race, because there is a great cloud of witnesses cheering you on, and Jesus waits to embrace you. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we get discouraged, and we want to quit. We want to give up. We want to stop the race. We want to get off this merry-go-round. But you never quit. You endured the cross with joy. You rose again on the third day, and you are even now at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. God, you are good. And this church body has such a bright future. I have hope. I am confident that God is going to do great things with this church. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for 39 years with these wonderful people. Thank you for family and friends gathered here today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit presence with us. We give you thanks and praise in all these things. In Jesus' name, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand and sing with us in celebration. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
We've asked the Nielsen family to come and share with us. They're going to sing Shine on Us. And as they're coming, I want to mention to you that Richard Indahl, who is probably the videographer in Southern Indiana, has been videotaping this service. And if you would like a copy, there will be copies available for $20 or for Blu-ray $24. Please go through me. Please go through me. I'll let you know when they're done. It'll probably be sometime at the end of April or May. But there are will be copies available for anyone who would like a copy of the song. After the Nielsen family sings, I've asked Mark and Lynn to come and stand, and the family join them, and all the church family come and join, and I've asked Brother Nathan to come and give the final blessing for Mark. It's been our honor and privilege to have Mark as our pastor. And I knew I needed to hold it together for this service. But I will say that it's a happy time, but it's a sad time. But we're so blessed and so grateful that we've been had the privilege of having Mark lead us in this church, in this community, and especially for our families. So we wanted him to know how much we loved he and Lynn. And as I said last night, this is not just Mark, this is Lynn. Lynn is the rock behind Mark, and she's been the one who has supported him. So please, after they're finished singing, Mark and Lynn come down, and all the family. Everyone come. If you can't come, join hands with someone, because we want this to be a great blessing upon them as they go into their new life.
Thank you.
church to come. Family, come and stand close.
Rebecca, you should know better than to hand a mic to another preacher. I do want to just say one thing. We had talked to our mom earlier. Our dad has gone on. Talked to our mom earlier. She's lonesome, wants to be here. And so remember Helen and so forth. But I do want to say one thing. When you're in the pastorate, you're up in front of people a lot. And, you know, people are looking at you in the pulpit and all of that kind of thing. But I want to tell you something about our firstborn of our family, our sister Jan. She's a musician, a choir director, a school teacher, been in front of people all of her life too. And I think Mark would echo my sentiments that, Jan, you led the way for us with your commitment to Jesus, the way you lived, what we remember of you growing up. You were stalwart for us. So, you know, Mark and I had someone going before us that we all admire tremendously. I tell my wife oftentimes that I think Jan is one of the most spiritually mature people that I know. So thank you, Jan, for leading the way after Mom and Dad so that you could be the light for Mark and I to follow. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, or today, we come to you. We are not unaware of the presence of God. We are not unaware that there are people in this room with tremendous amounts of struggles. That today is a day of celebration and remembrance, and there are people standing in this room wondering if they have enough strength, wondering if they have enough fortitude, wondering if they have enough emotional strength or finances or what it takes to get through one more day. And today is maybe amongst some of the worst days they've ever had. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you let them know that you love them? That if they will put their hand in your hand, there is nothing that can separate them from your love. Bring hope. The message that Pastor Mark and Lynn have brought to this church, hope in Jesus Christ. Your word tells us hope does not disappoint. And so, Father, the hope of eternity, the hope of eternal life, the hope of forgiveness, restoration, reconciliation, it's a message that has been preached repeatedly from this pulpit, that Jesus is the answer. That there is no other name known unto men whereby we will be saved. There is no other mediator. There is no one else except Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the faithful message that Mark has preached from this pulpit over and over again. And Lord, it does not end. He will continue to do that wherever, whenever he has the chance. And we don't need a pulpit to do it. We know that that message was preached riding bike or fishing or going to ball games or doing whatever it was that he did. And Lynn by his side preaching the same message by how they lived. Lord, this wonderful congregation. Lord, we pray a blessing upon this congregation. That you would take them and use them and help them to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. A light that shines in Knox County. For all to see. That people know when they run into people from this church, they're going to run into people that know Jesus and will bring them a message of hope. Mark and Lynn have equipped people for the work of the ministry. So help them do it. Help them shine as lights into this dark world. Bless the congregation. Bless Mark and Lynn in this next chapter of their life. Bless them as they minister to others and minister to their family. Lord, we thank you for your incredible love to us. That before we cleaned up, while we were still sinners, you demonstrated your love, Father, to us, and you sent your Son, Jesus. It is to that end that Pastor Mark has served faithfully, unwavering, with the message of hope. So today, we commission him to the next chapter of ministry. We commission Lynn in her skill set, in her empathy, and the things that she has, Lord, that she brings to the partnership of a godly marriage, that they will be a force. Father, we thank you. We praise you. You are worthy. And I pray today, Lord, for anyone who's teetering on the edge, has been mentioned before. Should I follow Christ? Should I not? Is it real? Father, help them know it's real. Help them that they don't need to enter another day uncertain. But today is the day of salvation for all who call upon the name of Jesus to be saved. We pray these things and bless the folks who have worked hard for this special celebration this weekend. Give safe travels to folks. Lord, keep them in the palm of your hand. And more than anything, speak to them with your Holy Spirit. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, don't forget luncheon in the fellowship hall. And come back this afternoon, 2 to 4.